This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point, listeners? It's your boy, Chris. I am by myself today because my co-host is not here. And in all fairness, I knew he couldn't make it, and I just didn't care. And I think on this particular topic, we don't need him to be here anyway, because it's already going to fill up the episode with all the questions that we have. And I mean, I'm always excited because I don't do this enough. And by the way, I'm doing this episode because of the feedback we're getting from our listeners. When we do some like individual trainings or things that you want to know, where you just are looking for info, it's good to bring on the person who oversees those things. And today for that, for me, that is Taylor Hewlett, who's our director of training and development at Rhino. And if you've been to Pantheon or Vertical Track or in the Linux meetings, you've been seeing him speaking more and more because he's going out and sharing with all the contractors what we here at Rhino are doing on behalf of our contractors in the LLM world or ChatGPT or AI, right? What are we doing for our contractors to make sure that they're coming up now, you know, for when search queries are happening on these, you know, ChatGPT models, which is really, really important. And not that it's a massive number, but it's a number and one you certainly should be paying attention to. And I talked a little bit about this at the Nuve tour. And I said then, hey, I'm going to do a podcast on this particular topic. And a lot of people are like excited about it. So when we're going to roll this thing out to all of you that are listening, I appreciate you being there. But Taylor, welcome to the podcast, man. Are you ready to get after it without any visuals, nothing like that? You don't want to stage this time. You're just, you know, just our listeners. So hopefully your explanations are very thorough that they can understand. Oh,
yes. Yes. Nothing but the best for this amazing podcast. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah. And so just for some context too, a little bit of background on Taylor, and I'm going to jump straight into questions. Actually, Taylor and I met the first time. He was at the time a NextStar digital marketing coach. I think this was back in, God, was 21, 22, somewhere around there, Taylor.
Right. 20. The time goes by so fast these days.
Because you've been working here like a little over 2.5 years or something.
Over 2.5.
So that's where we met. And up to that point, we were not a NextStar partner because we differed in opinion, right? On marketing KPIs that were being shared to the contractor. And Taylor's kind of wanted to bridge the gap on that for us. It was the first time I believed in what was being told. We were sitting at a contractor, T.R. Miller, the Sloan Brothers, love those guys, at their place. And that's how we met. And it was great. And so the fact whenever Taylor became on the market, I was like, dude, we got to get this guy on our team. I really, really like him. And here he is 2.5 years later. And he helped lead the charge on our AI, on all of our AI stuff that we've been working on for you, the contractors, the listeners. And so what we want to do on this episode is you got to pay super close attention. If you feel like, oh, this is boring, I'm not going to listen to it, you're already screwed. There's a lot of things that if you ignore it, you are going to be in trouble. Like, I don't care what business you're in that you're listening to this podcast on. Like, I don't care. It's industry agnostic. Like, it is what it is. I bet you you're listening right now. You used ChatGPT today, or you used it this week. Or you've used it, period. But more and more people, when we give these presentations, say, hey, how many people in here are using ChatGPT, you know, daily? Like 80% of the room raises their hand.
It's higher. Like, I was just at Lennox in Canada, and they 100% of the room rose their hand.
The Canadians are loving some ChatGPT, some thoughts and whatever. But the point is like, we're going to give you some good stuff to pay attention to. And even if that means you listen to it and still don't understand what we're talking about, you can pass that to someone who does. Take some notes. You can even go into the show notes and just copy and paste it right after you leave us a review. And copy and paste it and send it to whoever your marketing partner is or marketing coordinator or whoever the hell it is. Because for some of you smaller contractors, this is a way to win. This is a way to win. If you remember what SEO was back in the day and you're like, shit, I wish I would have done SEO so much sooner. Well, this is that moment. This is that moment where you got to pay attention to it.
I call it like turning into the turn, right? When you're racing cars or in a swimming pool, it doesn't matter. You're in any race. When the turns happen, that's when you can get ahead. And we are on the precipice of a turn right now, which is so exciting, scary, all the things, which we're all trying to kind of figure out as we move forward. But this is the opportunity we get to turn into, and it's exciting.
I used an analogy that at Nuve at the meeting over at Service Titan headquarters, and I don't think it landed as well as that. because I said, remember when the yellow pages, like, you know, used to be the yellow pages, and that switched, you know, to like, oh my God, now I got to get a website. Like, what the hell's a website? To me, this is as important of a moment, right? Like, agreed. You got to have a website. Like, ironically, that's the tool that a lot of these ChatGPT stuff's pulling from, is how, what's, you know, the depth of that, of the information that you, the things that you do in the website. It's different than actually, you know, the process for going towards just straight, you know, keyword searches on search engines. So these are things I'm going to jump into. You're going to walk away from this with a little bit better of an understanding of the why does it matter? How does it work? And then what do you do? So, and Taylor is super involved in that here, with, along with a few other of our team members at Rhino, on how we do this for you, the contractor, today, and having great success with it. Like, having our customers texting me saying, oh, just sold a $24,000 installation off of ChatGPT. Thank you. You know, just sold a $17,000 installation. Just got this repair. Like, that's the kind of shit that's happening now. So Taylor, first off, why don't you just tell the listeners kind of what you've been up to, what you've been doing to be competitive, you know, on chat. And by the way, I'm referencing ChatGPT because I feel like it's probably the most well-known, but this goes across, you know, all the large language model platforms.
Yeah, what 100%. Do we do? I mean, the biggest thing that we have found, the cool part about this is here at Rhino, we got to put together an innovation lab, and it's something that I used to be a teacher, right? And so I get to nerd out about this stuff. And we pulled maybe one or two people from every single department here in Rhino, and we got together and we said, okay, get your potato out, get your wires and get your light bulb out, and see what you change. Like, did your light bulb light up if you wire it this way? And that's the analogy. That's the silly analogy I have to show, if we change something on the website, does that website rank in ChatGPT? If we change X, Y, and Z, does what happens, right? It's just a simple school science fair project. And with this innovation lab, we were able to find and get to share with you guys what influences directly ChatGPT rankings. And Chris, you said it best, like, it's not a big number, but it's enough to look at, because the why we're here, why it's important to be looking at this today, is Google's entire market share has kind of dropped a little bit. And that's happened for the first time in about a decade. And that's something we have to keep an eye on. ChatGPT is absolutely exploding with users, and people are going to ChatGPT to find the results that they're looking for. So we put the innovation lab together to understand what can we do here at Rhino to get better results for our clients in this new landscape of AI.
Perfect. And that's the stuff I want to talk about, because even though the number's small now, it's a growing, and a growing fast number, right? So you want to be everywhere somebody can search. Well, this one, you know, it's going to be scaling and growing, and that's going to be another marketplace for you. I mean, by the way, you saw ChatGPT, or heard ChatGPT Atlas, you know, comes out like with their own search. Mm-hmm. Like, shit's changing so fast. And geez, even by the time you did the Pantheon presentation, which by the way, was the first time I was like, oh my God, we're doing all this shit at Rhino. Like, I had no idea. It was like the one thing that lit a fire for me, when I was like, oh my God, Taylor's so good. But we were talking about how Reddit played into it, and then Reddit, that whole thing changed, you know, like, yeah. What, just a few weeks later when you were presenting at Tommy's Vertical Track event, and like, so, but things are moving so quickly. So our hope from this is you can now, what, like that innovation lab that we've had, where we've learned all the things, we want to share some of those things with you. Now, maybe since I just talked about Pantheon, for those who weren't there, what inspired, you know, the presentation of, and by the way, I loved our hook. It was AI, ROI, and WTF. Because that's kind of the way we all feel. And listen, no, I don't care what kind of shit that you're hearing in social media. Like, none of us have this thing all figured out. None of us do. No agency. Those that are like pushing you to build a website on this particular platform, and if you do, you're going to be screwed. Don't believe everything that you hear. Don't believe the hype, as they say back in my day. But you got to pay attention to some of the basic things that we know as to be true. In fact, you know, that we've learned in our innovation lab team. So that's what I want to jump into. But like, what inspired that for you, Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you said around, I remember being at Pantheon and walking down some of the expo halls, right? Some of the expo hallways that we have there. And I think every single person, if not every other booth, had the word AI. You got to be looking at AI. You got to be doing AI. And I didn't really see anything about like what does that mean? What can you actually do? And so putting this presentation together was like, this is what you can actually actionably take away from AI. And we're going to focus on digital marketing, right? That's what we here at Rhino do. But like, AI is such a big tool that we have in our toolbox that as digital marketers, we can start to actually give you actionable items. So like from that presentation, I always come into every single presentation I do, AI or otherwise. These are the things you can do tomorrow. Like literally while you're listening to this podcast, you can start to execute on some things that are going to help your business grow within LLMs. Because when we start to look at the way people are searching, right? People usually go to Google, right? Your furnace breaks down, your toilet's overflowing. First you go, oh, that's disgusting. Let me get on Google and find a solution for this. People are starting to ask ChatGPT those questions. And when we started to go, oh, everyone is touting this big AI push, we were like, okay, what can we actually do rather than just say, you should be doing AI? What does that actually mean? That was the inspiration, because I remember you got up on stage in Pantheon and you said, everyone's just kind of figuring this out. And that's why we have the Innovation Lab. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We are on the cutting edge of what we do to influence these LLMs.
Yeah. And so speaking of LLMs or Google, the game is trust, right? So I want you to walk the listeners through, you know, the trust phase of, or how trust plays into not only how it's played into and still plays into Google, but also now into these chat platforms.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So the biggest thing that comes to mind with this, and Chris, let me ask you this question. What's the last Google search that you made?
It was, why do the Arizona Cardinals suck?
I can imagine, right?
The last search I just made was for scores.
For what?
For scores, football game scores.
Yeah, football game scores. Okay, cool. So when you made that search on Google, did it give you hockey game scores, or did it give you the scores of a restaurant down the street?
No. Give me football scores.
Give you football scores. You searched exactly what you searched for, and Google gave you the results that you were looking for. Google has made it its mission to serve the end user really, really well, and they've actually monetized that. They have monetized our trust because they are so good at giving us the results we are looking for. You search for football scores, it gave you football scores. So when we look at that, that's why Google became a verb, right? We search for something, we trust the results that's given to us. The game has kind of changed in that way, where ChatGPT came onto the scene and we have this like perceived like objectivity. It's almost like I'm sitting across from five different friends of mine and I ask it like, hey, for football scores or HVAC referrals, or doesn't matter, right? I need something, or a restaurant. It doesn't matter. I can get like five different recommendations from ChatGPT or my five friends. Google kind of gives me a list, right? It becomes very transactional. So when I can have this efficiency and convenience and this, I'll put it in quotes, perceived objectivity, ChatGPT really comes to the playground with that. And that's why they've been able to take some market share from Google, because of this conversational style. Because think about it. The last time you were able to build trust with someone was able to have a conversation with them, right? And that's the piece that ChatGPT does well. Google does not right now. Yeah.
I want to have a thought on that. Actually, a good analogy on it that I've been thinking about, you know, as I've, you know, done more and more of these. And let me just start with that. I was just talking to somebody at the Nuve thing, about using ChatGPT is literally like getting a referral from one of your good friends. Like, I believe it so much, it's gotten so much more believable, right? Like, okay, the friend who used to lie to me is now telling me the truth a lot more. So now I'm starting to believe they're telling me the truth. But I also got these other, you know, four friends over here who always I've always believed them. And so now I really believe that the responses that they're giving me are like the right answers. And so the conversion rate is incredibly high because you've won the trust game. And these chat or these AI platforms, the LLMs are winning in the trust game and giving good results. And so we are trying to make you the contractor, come up when somebody searches for who's the best contractors in, you know, San Antonio, Texas. So I want you to talk about, when you say AI, you know, you say it hands you the answer instead of making you research it. Now, what impact does that have on how businesses get found?
Let me start with the customer journey, because I always like to try to put my customer hat on first, right? In order for businesses to be found, we have to go where the customers are. And studies have shown that customers are driving towards ChatGPT for the reasons that you just mentioned. So when we talk about helping our businesses get found on ChatGPT, ChatGPT is helping them research the answers that they are looking for. It knows things about them. You can prompt it in a certain way to give you the answer that you're looking for and give you that really solid, trusted referral. Put yourself in the Google side of things. If you make a search for, hey, plumbing repair, HVAC repair near me or in this town, it's going to give you, we've all seen it, that list of results that then you have to go figure out. And we've always played the game of, how can we influence that list? How can we get people to click on us? How can we get our reviews up to then build that trust? ChatGPT took all of those steps that you might go through. Hey, I'm going to go look at your Yelp reviews. I'm going to go maybe search you on TikTok. I'm going to maybe go look at your Google reviews and put it all in one. It put it all in one step that I can just search for one thing. I can ask it one question, prompt it one time, and then ask it follow-up questions. And it gives me all of the research that I'm looking for. It's doing that work for me. I think about my attention span and on TikTok these days, and I think that happens to a lot of us, right? We're constantly inundated with this short form content, and we want the efficiency, the convenience of that short form answer. That's where ChatGPT is setting itself apart from Google, because it's able to give us that answer quickly, and Google's just giving us transactional results.
Dude, you want to hear what some of my ChatGPT searches are?
Of course, as long as they're appropriate, of course.
We're not always appropriate on this podcast, but the ones I'm going to give. I did a podcast interview questions, of course. I plug in what the question, I plug in what I want to get out of a podcast, and I ask for a bunch of answers, and I use a mixture of the two. I did equity ownership tiers, video script and storyboard. Similar bands to Candlebox. Best roofing contractors in Carmel. Let's see. Tactical question for founders.
Wait, can I ask you a question on one of those?
Yes.
The best roofing contractors in Carmel, did it give you a map or did it give you just like a list of results? Do you remember?
Yeah, it gave me, hang on, let me look at it. It gave me a list. It gave me a list of results. And what I was looking for was Chad and I's roofing company, if it came up in there, which it did. No, it gave me a list and it told me overview services and why they are notable. Now, my full prompt was, best roofing contractors in Carmel, Indiana.
So I want to share a story on that one just for a second, because I was on the Nexstar stage and I was talking about, hey, location proximity, and then that's a really important thing. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but yep. I was standing up there. I got done telling my answer and everything. And this guy came up to me, this contractor, really nice guy. I want to definitely tell everyone that he was super, super nice to me, but he shoved his phone in my face and he was like, look, you're wrong. It's doing this now. This is what it's doing. And I said, give me that phone. Let me see when that was published. Let me see when that article was published. It was published while I was on stage talking through my answer, which was like, okay, hang on a second. Let's pause on that for just a second, because it's constantly changing. It's constantly getting better. It used to give you a map of results. Now it just gives you a list. And some people are even saying it's pushing you over to Google Map results, which is interesting. Like, it's changing underneath our feet right now, which drives home. Like, I'm just curious on like all the different searches that happen. How is it changing right now?
Yeah. And listen, this is disruptive, you know, but disruption creates opportunity, right? And you can be fearful of it and do nothing, but I guarantee you a lot of others are doing something with it. And that's why we're doing this, is trying to push you to do it. I mean, the Pantheon, out of the blue, didn't tell Taylor. I said, hey, when they scan this QR code, let's actually give them what their ChatGPT results are for these top search queries for people looking for their type of business and see where they rank on it, which is what we started doing. And since then, it's kind of like snowballed. You know, doing more and more of those, but it's cool for you to see. And like, look, you can, you know, to Taylor's point, it's changing so fast. So shit, what we talked about last week might not be the same this week. So
that's why we have to be on the forefront for sure. Right,
but at least, you know, like, we are the ones who are like, you have a contract, you got a job to do. My job is this, you know, is to figure this stuff out on your behalf. And yes, while things are changing, we don't have it all figured out. Like I said, nobody does. At least we've got some things figured out. And when we learn something new, well, we adjust. That's the plan. That's the innovation. That's marketing, right? So, but we're talking about disruption, you know, creates opportunity. What kind of opportunities are emerging for contractors right now?
So the opportunities that we have are to lean into this info retrieval versus generation. We have to agree that AI, ChatGPT or otherwise, Perplexity, it doesn't matter, doesn't generate any new information. It simply goes out and retrieves the information that's out there. we also have to take into consideration the interaction style that we are writing our content in. Content is definitely still king, and we need to make sure that we're pivoting some of our styles to be more humanistic. And then finally, we have to know where ChatGPT is pulling its results from. Like I mentioned, it's not generating any new information. We have to know where it's getting its information and how it's formulating those answers. Those are the three big things that we need to know in order to step into this opportunity, to step into the turn and pass our competition.
Got it. And you know what's interesting about that is I used to say forever, you know, whenever I was still, you know, giving presentations and selling about content in general, like I used to say, listen, these contractors would comb, not all of them, very few actually, but some would comb through the content on their website and be like, why does it say XYZ? I really want to say XYZ. I'm like, oh no, it's because we were focused on search, like keyword search. And we wanted to say a certain thing a certain way. Whereas now like depth really matters, man, on these, you know, on these paragraphs where I'd be like, why are you writing such a long paragraph? Ain't nobody going to read it anyway. Well, that, you know, that stuff is changing, right? And
I mean, Google reads it. Google crawls that paragraph. But then the bigger thing is AI reads it, right? Google just kind of ingests it and looks for those keywords, and it's very transactional, and it ranks that page just based on that keyword search. AI can read it so fast and have contextual clues. It is so good at doing that, which is why we need to lean into that more, 100% to your point.
How does AI decide which businesses to feature? Listen, local search is obviously a big deal, right? Yeah. A big deal. So how is AI, like, what are they doing to feature or recommend a local search? Local search. You were talking about, you know, location and like things like that. Mm-hmm.
Let's define like how data flows within an AI model first. I think that's a good place to kind of go from a foundation. So when you use ChatGPT, you're kind of the user, right? And you prompt it, and it has data collectors that are going to go out and search the web, look at videos, look at blog posts. It's going to look at any information you gave it. Just this morning, I gave it a PowerPoint and wanted it to make something different off of it. So it'll take the information I give it as well. All those data collectors will go out and grab and retrieve all of the data coming in. It'll pipeline that data into a nice answer that you can read, right? That's exactly what it does. And it pumps that answer into more of a chatbot engine, which then you can ask follow-up questions on. So how can we influence that data pipeline from prompt all the way to answer? What can we influence? Well, it's what we've done for 18 years, or it's been SEO. It's been the content on your website. So when someone comes to me and says SEO is dead, I'm like, no, whoa, no. That's been said for many, many years since I was even not born yet. SEO has been dead, right? No. SEO is now more important than ever, and we have to look at it in different segments. The first segment that I think you're driving home towards, Chris, is on-site content. How does ChatGPT look at your on-site content to rank you better within the LLMs?
Yeah, so you know the methodology of we're going to create a service page in the specific location, like of many locations that the contractor serves, and the more in-depth, the better.
Yes.
Of what you're doing, drain cleaning, you know, in, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, or drain cleaning in Scottsdale, Arizona, or drain cleaning in Glendale, Arizona. And, but you got to go more, you know, more in depth, you know, than that. So to me, it sounds like what you're saying is content and the depth of the content, you know, in a written in a slightly different way, that's not so heavily focused on keywords, is starting to become, it's not a, or you're doing one or the other. It's an, and. There's got to be some variation of that. Is that right?
Yeah. So let's dive into that a little bit, because I think what a lot of people miss the boat on for AI is like, okay, let's just answer our questions more in depth. What does that actually mean? Well, let me tell you, it's FAQ pages on all of your service pages. Any question that your customer might ask, they're going to ask ChatGPT. And if ChatGPT can go find the answer on your website because you answered that question well, then you're more likely to rank. So questions that customers are asking around their garage door, their HVAC equipment, whatever the case may be, how do I change my furnace filter? When do I change my furnace filter? How can I clean my air ducts? We all love the question, and I love this one, is how can I repair my own AC unit, right? Like, we probably shouldn't be searching that, but people do, right? That's what they do. And so if you can professionally in-depth answer those questions on your website, you will be more of an authority within ChatGPT and the other LLMs. We have to be looking at that. So that's FAQ pages for sure. How you write that content and speaking directly to your customer is even better, right? Hey, this I'm speaking directly to my customer, direct to consumer, rather than talking about the business. Yes, it's good to advertise that we are 30 years in business, family owned and operated, professional licensed plumbers, amazing content. We should absolutely still have that on our site. But we also need to add, and this is the pivot of content that we're talking about, the talking directly to your customers and answering their questions. And some of our listeners might be thinking, okay, well, how do I know what people are asking? There's a resource out there that you can use. You can use answerthepublic.com and you can search for your vertical and it'll give you all the questions in this beautiful circle that your customers are asking right now. All you have to do is answer them. Like literally you're the expert. You have the answers. Just write the answers down on your website and ChatGPT will look at those. Google will look at those. It's so, so important.
You mean they should answer the public?
They should answer the public. Literally answerthepublic.com. It's crazy. It's such a good resource to answer your customers' questions. You can build your authority both within ChatGPT and Google. So not only are you're better in ChatGPT, which is what we're talking about today, you get a double hitter. You're better in Google too.
Hey, so maybe also just let the listeners know, what are some of the other major resources that ChatGPT is pulling to help deliver, you know, the results?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the next one, which is we're gonna dive into offsite SEO tactics, and that's something that I love to talk about because I'll be up on stage and the audience their eyes will start to kind of glaze over when we start talking about offsite SEO tactics. I'm gonna break it down. Really, what it comes down to is relevant. You got to be relevant within your market, right? Proximity. We talked about the map that you had maybe for your Carmel roofing searches, right? And then your reputation. Those are the big three that we can dive into and help influence ChatGPT when we're talking about kind of offsite tactics.
Yeah, but then I'm also thinking like, what are other sites or platforms that they're pulling stuff like the thumbtacks, the, you know, stuff like that? Is there a couple of those that you can share from what you're saying? Guys, like I said, Reddit was a factor mm-hmm. and then it started to like, lose it. And then it also started tanking in the stock and like, you know, in the stock market, like all this shit was happening. I was like, what the hell? I'm glad I didn't buy Reddit stock. And I almost did, but maybe just share a couple of those so they can be like, Thumbtack, what the fuck? Or, you know, Better Business Bureau. Like what, who the cares about Better Business Bureau? Okay. Like maybe talk about a few of those things just as from a reference, not all of it, because there's a bunch of, but like the main ones that you kind of see that we should be paying attention to.
If you've been listening to this show, you'll know that I only talk about tools that actually help our team. And BlueOn is definitely one of those. At Peterman Brothers, our techs are using BlueOn every single day. It's become their go-to resource. It really is like having a senior tech in your pocket. They can scan a unit, get all the model data, wiring diagrams, parts, and even troubleshoot with BlueOn's AI. We've seen fewer callbacks, faster fixes, and happier techs. And that's why I'm such a big believer in BlueOn, because it actually works. So do yourself a favor, click on the link in the description and book a quick demo with the BlueOn team to see it in action.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So here at Rhino, as part of our innovation lab, we got to do hundreds and hundreds of searches on ChatGPT, and we marked down basically any time a company was recommended. ChatGPT said, hey, use this company when it wasn't from Google, Apple, or Bing. So those three review sites that we didn't want to look at. Those are big ones that we've always been touting that we want to get reviews on for sure. Anytime it was not one of those big three, we wrote it down. And some of the ones that we found were our contractors' favorites. Like, right, we all love the Better Business Bureau. That was one of them. ChatGPT pulls directly from the Better Business Bureau. Angie is another one. Three Best Rated is another one. And I'll give you one more. Home Advisor, which I know everyone loves, right?
Three Best Rated. I've never even heard of Three Best Rated.
We hadn't really, it's a directory, right? But we hadn't really either. And it wasn't something that we would really tout. And we'd want to be focused on Google. We want to be focused on Apple and Bing and Yelp and those types of things. But when we looked at ChatGPT, it's pulling directly from those sites, directly from those review sites. So you're probably sitting out there going, okay, what can I do about that now? Like, how do I influence that? Well, start encouraging some reviews over to those websites that I mentioned. If you start pushing some reviews over to Angie and Yelp and Better Business Bureau and Three Best Rated and Thumbtack and owning some of your profiles over there, it's going to help you rank. We saw a direct correlation with this from the hundreds and hundreds of searches that we were able to do. And I know we're probably sitting, you're probably sitting out there going, yeah, none of those platforms work for me. I hate those platforms. And that's okay. Like I get it. Trust me. It's another thing to manage, but the data doesn't lie. And I said this before, if you don't go where your customers are going, which they're going to ChatGPT, you're going to miss out. So if you take nothing else, please go own some of your profiles, start getting some reviews over there. It's going to help you.
Yeah. And then by the way, so let's talk about this. This is a great time for smaller companies to, like, you know, for David to beat Goliath. Like, this is a great opportunity for smaller or even lesser known, you know, known or lesser known companies or even newer companies, you know, to have an advantage. So maybe explain to them, like, you know, you've kind of given some tactics, but like, maybe let's elaborate on that a little bit on how some of these smaller guys can win. And I'm gonna tell you what, here's my answer. Super high level. Start now on these things that Taylor's talking about. Like,
yeah,
get moving on them fast, you know, and, you know, just start
down.
Yeah.
I'll break down a list for us that I think is important. So I was up at Lennox and I was giving this presentation and one of the questions that came in, which was really, really good, of, well, that's a lot to manage. I'm already trying to just get Google reviews. You're telling me that I should also get reviews to some of these other platforms. And I said, yes, 100%. That is what I'm telling you. The first thing I would do is just own your profile, right? Go own or claim your Yelp profile, your Thumbtack profile. Go make sure that your Better Business Bureau profile is up and running and accurate. If you do that one thing, you'll already be a few steps ahead of the Goliath of your industry. So Chris, when you said it perfectly, David versus Goliath, we have some smaller contractors out there that you might be in those shoes and you're looking at the Goliath in your industry, in your market, excuse me. And they have 30,000 some odd reviews, right? And you're sitting there going, I can't compete with that. Like I can't, they are constantly getting more and more reviews. I'm trying to get as many Google reviews as I can, but I'm there's no way I can make it up to their level. I agree with you. 100% I agree with you. If you want a way to start to chip and get some of your market share in that market, these review platforms is what I'm starting to look at. These review platforms, as people flood over to ChatGPT, are going to help you grow and take on the Goliath of your industry. So step one, I'm going to recap for a second. Step one is going to be owning those profiles. You've got to own them. It's going to help you with SEO. It's going to help you with ChatGPT. There's so much relevance there that you're missing out if you don't own them, one. Two, start encouraging some reviews over there, right? If you have an amazing customer, Sally, that you always go out and service their equipment, you have a couple of them, right? They're always calling you back. They're a member of your shop. Go to them and say, hey, would you mind? I know you did a Google review. We love those reviews. Would you mind also doing one over here? Just have a conversation, do a happy call, get some reviews over there. I'm telling you, that is the opportunity that we are seeing from a ChatGPT ranking standpoint, from a review perspective.
Or hey, real quick, let me chime in. I know you had one more, right? But
go.
Okay. To that point, like, listen, we get that we're asking you to do a bunch of things. This is like the perfect time to give a little shout out to Prolific Brand Design, because, you know, they do Prolific email marketing too, and they're prolific at it. See what I did there? You're welcome, Prolific. But this is a perfect time to engage your membership list. Like, those guys are fantastic at, number one, keeping you out of the spam box, the spam folder, but then writing good, you know, subject lines to set the hook. And this is a perfect example to use somebody like that to open the email to go and leave the Yelp review at scale. And they're so, you know, so cheap to use them too. So anyway, we started using it at Redbird Roofing, you know, to help increase these reviews on the platforms that we haven't been paying attention to help our chat model. And it's been working beautifully. So anyway, it's a simple, easy solution that you can do for a month, 2 months, whatever you decide to do. But, anyway, there's an easy way you can check that number two box you just talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. Driving those reviews, leveraging your current customer lists. Those are all things I'm looking at from a relevance and ranking on ChatGPT perspective. And then finally, this is another double header, because I'm always a fan of giving our clients, our customers, contractors out there, hey, if I'm going to do this, maybe I can kill two birds with one stone. That's kind of the goal here, right? We talked a little bit about how all of the things are going to help you both in the Google landscape as well as ChatGPT. Is going to be NAP, and that's name, address, phone number. When you go own your profiles and you make sure that your name is there and it matches across your directories, your GBP and your website, you make sure your phone number is there and it matches across the web, unless, of course, you're using a tracking number, which we can get into. And then finally, your address. Those are the big ones. If you start to own some of those things, not only will it help you with ChatGPT, we found those results, but it's also going to help you in the Google landscape as well, because Google likes that consistency. The more we can play in their playgrounds, the more we can influence them, the better we can get, the more results we can get from a lead generation perspective.
Since you're kind of going down that path, let's talk about proximity. Yeah. You know, when we talk about who's coming up in the Google Maps section, proximity plays into it different than it does on the AI platforms. It does. So you gave a really good presentation on that, a vertical track about that. And I think it's important to talk through it, because again, I learned as you were talking about it, like, oh, and it changes the way that I start thinking about Redbird Roofing on like, oh, we need to add X, Y, and Z, because proximity doesn't play in the same. It doesn't deliver the results the same on ChatGPT. So maybe talk about how proximity plays into like the local search.
I will. So Chris, first caveat I'm going to give you is if I start to get a little too technical, then just wave your hands and cut me off and ask a question, right? Like pull me out of it. So when we look at GBP, right, we're looking at location and the way that
Google Business Profile.
Thank you. When we're looking at GBP, Google Business Profile, the way Google ranks those profiles is based on city center. And I'll give you the example that I ran here in Boulder, Colorado. It's one of my favorite towns. It's just 15 minutes up the road. So it put the city center kind of next to City Hall. It's not locally known as the city center. Basically, what I'm saying is Google is working off of outdated information for these city centers. And that's tough, right? When it's working off of outdated information of what's locally known as the city center, that can help or hurt your rankings depending on how close you are to that city center. That's all GBP or Google Business Profile. Chris, you with me so far?
Yep. Actually, I have another question on it, but I'm like, finish your thought.
Okay, cool. So when we flip this on its head and we started to look at AI rankings and ChatGPT rankings, we noticed that it's kind of pulling from the same data as Google's pulling from. So it's inaccurate. And this is the part that's changing for us. This is the part that's changing completely for us underneath our feet. When we looked at OpenAI's or ChatGPT's results, when we do a location-based search, it doesn't give us options that are really, really close to us. We are in a hyper-local industry. We want to use people that are close to our homes. We want to make sure we're in those service areas. And ChatGPT was not great at pulling that information. Now, it's getting better from Pantheon, where I got to speak in Pantheon, till now. It's actually gotten better. We saw that with your Carmel Roofing example. It gives you a little bit more options. It's starting to engage with customers a little bit more, asking for more information. So not only am I giving it my address, I'm giving it information. It's asking, hey, where are you located? What are you interested in? What are you nearby? It's prompting that conversation back to me so that it can give me better results, ultimately giving better trust. This proximity piece is on my watch list right now to really understand what's coming down the pipe for us in how both Google and ChatGPT are going to do proximity and location-based ranking.
Do you think can you accomplish all this just by making those changes to on your actual site, or is it going to take some support from some of the other offsite, you know, resources? Like, I know this is kind of off the cuff, but I'm going someplace with it. So like, it doesn't need to be a long answer, but like, where, yes or no? Like, is that,
yes,
can it all be accomplished on site?
No. Sorry. I misunderstood your question. No, it cannot all be accomplished just on your website.
Okay. So, cause you know, what a lot of contractors will do and what they've been asked to do, especially from a marketing perspective, is, okay, well then go open up another location in this, over in the city, so now here we are hopping around, open up an office here, an office there, office here, office there, like that, that maybe is not even, occupied. It's just for the brick and mortar to be able to set up a Google Business Profile. Mm-hmm. I'm just giving like an example of what customers do. In this instance, you don't have to do that to win in the LLM game.
No.
It's yeah. So it's, I'm not saying you shouldn't, by the way, because by no means is this podcast to say stop focusing on Google. It is still a behemoth, and we 100% are focused on it. It's just an and.
Yes.
And, but you can win in some of those other places where you don't have physical locations on the chat platforms by doing this. Like, and that's kind of where I was going to with it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And this brings up the David versus Goliath thing again too, right? If I'm a smaller shop and I don't have the resources to properly, and I want to hit on that, to actually accurately and properly open up a new location, another address in the city over, the subdivision over, whatever the case is, I can start to influence my rankings within ChatGPT and Google as well by doing some of the things, owning these profiles offsite, making sure my address is accurate, all the things that we've talked about. But it brings up, like, if I'm David in this scenario, I can have a little bit of market share. I can start to chip away at Goliath because they can go open up a new location. I can be a little bit more competitive in my backyard.
Got it. Hey, real quick, I wrote down something else. And I don't want to forget to ask it. And I remember talking to Mark internally on our dev team about this at one point in time, saying, hey, explain this to me. Like a perfect example, Mike Bruner, who listens to this podcast, been on here before, Iceberg, great customer of ours, good friend of mine, is one of the guys that sent me and said, hey, Chris, you know, made a $24,000 installation off ChatGPT because we've been actively working on his stuff. Now, how do they know, right? If the customer doesn't say, hey, I found you on ChatGPT, by the way, they are. Most of them are asking if you, the contractor, are asking where the lead source came from, because how are you tracking it is where I'm going with it, is can you see the referral source, you know, of where it comes from? Like, maybe explain how we are, you know, yep, how we are tracking that now. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. Attention to the point, listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But Prolific, they build brands that dominate, from the first Google search to the driveway. Prolific brand design can help you be more of you, because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific brand design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific.
For sure. For sure. You can absolutely see the referral source. So let's break it down from a customer perspective. I'm a customer. I'm searching on ChatGPT or prompting ChatGPT for a plumbing company. I then click on the website link, right? I click on your website link. In my URL, when I go to your website, it will have the referral code of ChatGPT. It will have the referral code of AI. It knows that I came from that. We can even break it down from the different LLM, the different models, Perplexity, Gemini. We can see where customers are coming from and what language model, what AI tool they are using. And we utilize tools like Google Analytics to do this. We report on those things so we can know from inception, from prompting to phone call, to booking, to revenue, right? That's the ultimate goal. We need to map back what we're doing up here in the ChatGPT realm all the way down to revenue. We can see and map that journey directly with that attribution. It comes with you, your URL when you click on the link from ChatGPT.
Yeah, man. And what's cool about this is, you know, if you had to attach a cost per lead to it, you know what I mean? Even though it's a really small number of overall leads in comparison, it's still probably your lowest cost per lead right next to a referral.
Yeah. You know? I mean, this is the modern day word of mouth right here. Like when we look at ChatGPT, it's recommending it's building trust and it's recommending your company. So yes, the cost per lead is going to be lower because of that. It's going to be right in the realm of SEO cost per lead because it utilizes SEO best practices to make its recommendations.
So actually I don't know why I didn't think about this. People are spending money on SEO tactics, right? Now they're getting ancillary benefits. If you're a Rhino customer, they're getting ancillary benefits now on chat as well. Right. Wow. So that's one thing I got to start to figure out is like, man, what are those resources? Like, I'd love to know what an actual cost is to generate a ChatGPT lead. And obviously we're not going to solve that on this podcast, but I'm just kind of thinking out loud. It's so low. Yes. But as it scales, you know, we're going to see more and more. And eventually this thing is going to be monetized. Eventually, like like ChatGPT Atlas, there's going to be a paid portion of this thing, you know, to win the game. And when they do, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready to take advantage of it.
You have to be. Chris, do you remember, I'm too young for this, so I'm really young. I just want to make sure everyone knows that. But no, do you remember when LSA was a $30 cost per lead, like when it was first introduced, like that way back when?
Dude, let me just tell you. Okay, so for those who are listening right now, maybe not know this. You've seen people like other competitors and stuff going to Google facilities and hosting events and shit like there. Like, we were the OGs of doing that at Rhino. Google came here to Phoenix in 2014. Like, when I say Google, there's like five of them that came and said, hey, in the HVAC space, you guys are one of the largest, you know, of niche HVAC customers. And we were rolling out this Google managed agency program. And we would like you guys to, you know, to be our go-to for it, our beta tester for it. And that included Google Home Services at the time, which is what it was originally.
Right.
And it was so cheap. And it wasn't opened up to everybody. It was like these select people you could put in. So we were able to start pumping in our own customers into that. And the cost per lead was like even less than the $30. It was like, we were in the 20s, and it was an amazing time. It looks nothing like that today.
No, nothing. Nothing.
But like just to date myself, we were the OGs of testing that shit out and then having events at Google and rolling it out together. We're talking shit 20 years or 10 years ago, man. That's how long it's been going. Oh, and also fun fact, you wouldn't know this, Taylor, but at that time, Anna was super pregnant. And we actually were on kid number, God, what, how many kids I have now? Kid number four.
Okay.
And we met with Google that morning from like 9 to noon, and then went straight from Rhino to the hospital, and she had Fallon at 2:15.
I think she told me that story, and I remember thinking, wow, that's hardcore. Yeah. That's hardcore. Anyway,
completely derailed us. But yes, I remember when it was very inexpensive.
Yeah. So when LSA leads were really inexpensive, and what we're looking at, what I'm driving home towards is paid ads on ChatGPT or ChatGPT Atlas, whatever they're going to do is going to be cheap out the gate, right? When you start to jump on that, and here at Rhino, that's what we're looking at right now is, when are they going to monetize? How are they going to monetize? How is it all going to work? Now, I am not going to be on this podcast to sit here and tell you that you can start to pay ChatGPT to influence the results it gives customers or it gives people, right? That's a line that OpenAI is going to have to figure out for themselves how they're going to walk. here at Rhino, we can figure out how we can influence that once they draw their line in the sand. Once they put that line in, we can figure out how we can influence it. And really, this is all to be said that we can start to jump on paid ads. Some people are saying as early as next year, 2026. Some people are saying it's going to be further than that with this introduction of Atlas. We just don't know. And that's why it's on my watch list. I have to keep an eye on what paid ads are going to look like in this open AI, and this AI really in general in this landscape.
Okay, I'm actually going to piggyback off that. But first, before I go there, this reminds me of, even today, this is still rings true, but there was nowhere in black and white where you would see that having really good SEO helped your pay-per-click performance better, make it improve better. But everything that we did supported that. That's exactly what happened, because it drove, you know, drove up your quality score, like, you know, and you were getting better cost per click. So because of the relevancy, like all these things didn't just accidentally get better together. Like when we ran an SEO to PPC campaign, what this makes me think about is that, like, right now we're kind of setting the foundation to come up and search, you know, in the search queries, you know, on the chat, on these, you know, platforms. I just have to believe somehow that translate when this thing does get monetized in the same way to whatever, you know, whatever the paid platform is going to be. Maybe not, but I wonder if there's going to be a connection there.
That's why it has to be on the watch list. Cause I would agree with you. Like if I were to take a step out into the unknown and make a prediction, I would agree with you that this is all going to be relevant to each other, because we saw that when OpenAI first started searching the sites, started searching the internet, we saw that it was leveraging the foundation of SEO. It was leveraging the foundation that Google had built and the trust that Google had built to give proper, accurate, good results. I can't imagine that they're not going to just build right off of that, the foundation of that, into their paid ads platform. They're going to do that at some point. We just got to figure out what it's going to look like.
Yeah, so I do want you to get your crystal ball out now, okay?
Okay.
Is there some shit? Now, oh, by the way, maybe be thoughtful on what you share, because I do want to make sure we keep a competitive advantage here. So I'm going to ask you I'm going to give you time to think about it while I ad-lib for you, okay? And this is around, like, you guys are all certainly looking and trying things, thinking, okay, you know, in 12 months, These are some of the changes that we expect to see in how AI is impacting, you know, local marketing. So maybe share like a few things, or at least what you're paying attention to that may or may not happen, you know, it may or may not happen, but you kind of feel like this is something that we're going to pay attention to. And maybe share just like a few of those things, like what's in your crystal ball?
Good question. The first one is, in the crystal ball, because we haven't seen it in reality just quite yet. And the second one is definitely way out there. So the first one that comes to mind is Thumbtack. We talked a little bit about Thumbtack before and owning that profile. The reason I bring Thumbtack up is because Thumbtack is the only strategic partner in OpenAI's world right now. They are in bed together. OpenAI owns ChatGPT, for those of you that don't know. And so when Thumbtack and ChatGPT get together, Thumbtack is the only one of our industry, home services, that is doing this. When a search happens utilizing ChatGPT, they're going to leverage the data on Thumbtack in order to make those results happen. So owning that Thumbtack profile is going to be super important. Those of you that don't know, Operator is another big one in ChatGPT's realm. It's their highest paid option. It's $200 a month. I want you to think of it as like a smart assistant that does things for you, can start to take action for you. For example, it can't quite do this just yet. It's pretty new, but if I say, hey, go book me a haircut, it can go actually do the things. It'll book the appointment for me, which is really exciting. That's where AI is headed. Thumbtack is going to be at the forefront of that because of the strategic partnership. So that's the first thing I'm looking at right now. The other one is going to be around the partnership between Perplexity and Yelp. Yelp, I know everyone's favorite platform. I get it, but they're in bed together, right? Or they're getting in bed together. I have not seen this thing in the real world. I made a couple searches on Perplexity. I did not see Yelp in there as of yet, but it's on my watch list because of that strategic partnership. So as these companies, as these large language models get in bed with other partners, that is what I have my eye on in my crystal ball moving forward.
Got it. You know, but it's, yeah, because it actually before I knew that they were, you know, that the Thumbtack had the partnership with, you know, OpenAI, you would just think of it like, well, what if they do the same shit to Thumbtack that happens to Reddit? You know, like then what we don't know, like, but you got to still keep trying all the things. So you don't just focus on one platform or the other, because this could happen. But at least in this sense, you know, like if they created a partnership, probably going to work together on some shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it seems like it's a little more like a little more solid of a, or a sticky, you know, of a resource to pay attention to.
I would agree. I would agree with that. It's interesting that you say that too, because I've been kind of tracking, like, one of the things that I always talk about is if we were to freeze time literally right now, like if we froze Google, let's do this. We'll freeze Google right now and we'll say, hey, you're not allowed to do any more work currently. ChatGPT users are the users going to ChatGPT would far outweigh Google by as early as next year. Like more people will go to ChatGPT than Google if we were to do nothing else right now. But exactly what you said, Gemini is here. Right. When Google comes to play with Gemini and starting to work on that, they're going to steal back some of their market share. So there's going to be this push and pull between Reddit and Google. And if Google notices that Reddit is giving results to ChatGPT, Google might not prioritize Reddit as much. You start to get in the money game at that point, right?
Yeah.
You got to keep an eye on those things.
That's a really good statement. I didn't think about, there's going to be some favoritism.
Yeah, I mean, it says, oh, we're the most trusted thing and we want to serve the end user, but they make a lot of money, right?
Why do you think
they do that? It's because of things like this.
Yeah, see, listen, listeners, to all the contract, like this is the shit we have to pay attention to, like as if it's not hard enough to, you know, in the spring and fall for your HVAC contractors to create, you know, some demand for you. Like we also got to pay attention to this shit. God, it's crazy. But it is, you know, it is like, I took a course on how to learn how to use all the different models. It was called Coursive, and it had all these different platforms that I had to go through and take a class on it. And it did take me, you know, almost 30 days to complete the damn thing. But like, and it wasn't like it was 30 straight days. It's just, it took me that long to complete the course because of all the other shit I got to do. But what it really taught me was how to use the prompts the best way. How to leverage the prompts to get all the things that you want. And shit, what it is, you don't even think about all the things you can do with it. Like you could pump your financials into this thing, remove your name from it, you know, your name or anything that's personal from it. And you could have it, you know, you could have it spit out whatever you want. Hey, how much am I spending on average, you know, looking at this last year's numbers on, you know, eating fast food, you know, or DoorDash or Uber. Oh, actually, maybe actually don't do it because you'll be pissed on how much money you're blowing DoorDash. But it was enough for me to say, sweet, I can afford to have a chef come once a week on Monday and prepare good food for me, and it costs me less than what we've been spending on fast food. That's fucking pathetic. But it was a really cool tool, or a thing that I learned by using this tool to say, hey, help me find this. I'm just giving you an example. But the point being is it makes you more and more and more and more confident to use this thing over and over and over again. Right, but there's still going to be a massive chunk of people that are just not going to buy into it. A massive chunk. Mm-hmm. Like, and when they and listen, Google's a big business, a smart business, or you know, a great percentage of revenue for the state of California and a bunch of other states, actually, New York, you know, Illinois. They're going to continue to build out Gemini as well, and it's going to compete. There's going to be a lot of back and forth, but again, the point is, don't ignore it. No matter how much you don't know about it, know this. Don't ignore it, or find a good marketing person who can help you help do it for you. And then like Taylor was saying earlier, it's trackable. So you can trace it back. It is its own lead source. You can figure these things out. And so better to get ahead of it now and start to get ahead of the game, especially if you're smaller or have small brand equity, like get ahead of it. Get ahead of it now. Just do some of these searches, you know, search queries, use the answer the public, you know, tool that he told you about, and then use some of those and do it in your own market and see if you come up or don't. There's a trigger for you. If you don't, fucking get on it. Like, start doing something.
You got opportunity to make it better for you. Chris, something that we didn't get a chance, I wanted to share as well, that we're kind of doing a little bit different. We're one of the only people doing it, is that ranking report that we were running with ChatGPT. We're running it like three different times with three different accounts to really get an idea of like, are you showing up or not? for the queries that are most searched for, most prompted in ChatGPT for your market, for your services. We can see, are you showing up or are you not? What percentage of voice do you have within ChatGPT? That's something that's on the cutting edge. So we can understand, that gives us data on how we can influence it too.
Okay. Listen, here's what we're going to do. So to all of our that's listening, who made it through this to this point, we're going to put a link in. We have a link because a QR code just goes to a link for this, right? So we'll just throw the link into when this episode airs, you just go to our Facebook page, To the Point Facebook page, To the Point Home Services Podcast Facebook page. And in the actual content, we'll also share the link for you to go. And you click on the link, and like Taylor's saying, this power ranking report pulls it for you, pulls the rankings for you based on the most popular queries in your market. So just go click on the link and then follow the instructions and submit it. It's easy. It's like, I don't even know what, 4 questions. We'll deliver you guys what the results are, so that way you have it. So I know I just added a lot of extra work, Taylor, for you, but like,
oh, I'm in for it, dude. Are you kidding me? Like, this stuff is awesome. And the biggest thing that fuels me is I was with Nextstar before. I've been in this industry for about 4 or 5 years, been doing digital marketing for a decade. Biggest thing I love is to help people win. That's perfect. It.
Well, then let's go ahead and close with this, because we're buttoned up to an hour already. What's the biggest mindset shift that you want these contractors, these listeners, to walk away with right now?
Biggest mindset shift, I think, that is coming down the pipe for us is how people interact online. It's changing. And if you don't get in front of it, you'll get left behind. You have to get in front of it. The way people are interacting with these ChatGPT large language models is more conversational. That's the big shift. We're going from a transactional search of plumber near me to, hey, emergency services available now for a low cost in this area, my toilet's overflowing, to this big, long prompt query. So that's the shift that we are seeing. It's more conversational, and you have to have things in place so you can be competitive with that, or you'll get left behind.
Got it. And what he's saying, man, is this is not an and situation. It's an and situation. Like, you got to focus on all the things. And clearly, if you're a contractor, you can't be focused on all this shit. This is what our job is as a marketing company, is to do, content in a way that's still appeasing to Google, but content in a way that's also appeasing to these large language model platforms. So like, you got to do one or the other. Just focus on all of it, right? I really don't want anybody to walk away from this saying, okay, I'm going to 100% focus on this. Please don't do that.
Don't
focus on this. There's still too much search volume, coming into this vision platform. So, then you're going to blame me. Be like, Chris told me, Taylor told me. Don't do that.
No, don't do that. We did not tell you that. You got to focus on both of them, but it's coming. We're excited for it. We're excited to be on the forefront.
Yeah. And what we're going to do too, to the listeners too, is we'll do, as we learn more, like we'll do another check-in. Maybe we'll make this one of our Thursday little micro episodes. We're kind of just doing an update on the things that we've learned, over time. And that way you guys can hear from us. So that way you don't have to wonder what's going on. We'll at least be able to tell you what we've learned. So Taylor, I appreciate you coming on and doing this. Like I said, the first time I heard you present on at Pantheon, I was like bought in. I was like, oh my gosh, I did not know that we did all this shit. And I did not know. And now that I'm seeing the results of it from our customers, and that's actually turning into, installs for them. Like, I'm getting more and more and more of these, especially, from some of my guys I'm closer with, and like obviously my group of friends, Tommy and all these guys, they're listening to what we talked about and implementing, as well on different platforms. And it's like, so it's cool to kind of see it all playing out. And like, we are at the forefront of it. We're not just out there talking about it because we read it on some fucking website somewhere. We're actually here doing it in our little innovation lab and doing it on behalf of our contractors and seeing the results from it. So like, we know what we know, and that's what we're trying to share with you guys on here today. So Taylor, appreciate you coming on here, brother.
Chris, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
And the thing that you said that actually landed the most with me, that I want all our listeners to take away, is how much do you love word of mouth advertising?
The best one.
This is the modern day word of mouth. I loved that phrase, and I 100% am bought in on it. I'm excited to watch what it does. I mean, this thing just keeps going. So, but to our listeners, if you take nothing away, it says you need to, from this, other than the fact that like, okay, I don't understand everything they said. I just know I need to pay attention to it. Well, then that works. Pay attention to it. Number one, do something with it. Number two, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No, 0 days.